Morning. Yeah, I do like the cold, but I'm not as dumb as I look. You know, everyone's like, where were you this morning? You weren't out. I'm like, look, I like the cold, but yeah, again, you know, so it's good. It's good to see everybody here today and to have everybody with us. You know, I was thinking about a lot of things here this morning, and I was just thinking about some of the different psalms that God has given to us. I was listening to a couple of the songs this morning as we prepared for worship, Rebecca and I. And one of the things that I was thinking about is just the passage that says, one day in your courts is better than a thousand. And that's out of Psalms 84:10. And then when you consider the other passage in Psalms where it says, I was glad, Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that, you know, there is a joy that we perceive and that we sense here in the house of God. And it's because of the presence of His Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for that. And where else would you rather be? And there is great joy. You go through the struggles of life. You go through the difficulties that a week entails. And yet you always should, we should look forward to the day that we can come into the house of the Lord and worship Him. But worship is not, you know, reserved for one day of the week. I'm just so thankful that we're here this morning. I'm thankful that God is faithful, that He is true. I just want to open our services here today in an attitude and word of prayer, just in the privacy and the stillness of your own heart. Just go before the Lord and thank Him for the joy it is to come into His house this morning. Almighty, infinite, heavenly Father, we praise You, and I thank You for the affirmation of Your presence, Your promises, Your truth. I'm so thankful to know that You are God. You are God alone. I pray that we had placed our trust in You, Father, in all situations and all manner of life. And God, I'm overwhelmed at Your goodness. Better is one day in Your courts than a thousand elsewhere. One day, one moment, one glimpse of Your glory, of Your holiness, of Your faith and Your love, of Your beautiful face. Oh God, I can't fathom that. But when we look into Your scriptures and we read even that verse, we get an idea what it is that we look forward to, but also who it is that we serve. May we desire to be in Your presence. May we desire to go into Your courts. May we desire to be in Your house. There's nowhere else that offers the peace and the healing and the love and the comfort that comes from the presence of our God. And I rejoice in that this morning. So the tears that I shed are of joy, oh Father, and yet I stand in awe of You. And I pray that every heart and every mind would be humbled before You this morning. Pray, Father, that You would be exalted. Pray, Father, that You would renew Your love and Your compassion to all of us here today. Have control of our services. We commit all things into Your hands. For those who can't be with us today, who may be on their way to the hospital, or Father, who may be dealing with situations in their life or their hearts, they can't be here. Maybe those who are here and are troubled, or just whatever the case may be, I just ask for Your hand of intervention in every situation. God, I do love You. I love You with all my heart. Make me a faithful servant of You today, a faithful under-shepherd, a faithful follower of my Savior Jesus. To the glory of my King, I pray all these things. your glory, we pray all things at all times. And in that precious name alone, we ask it, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to praise the Lord this morning. We're going to sing a song, Mighty to Save. God is mighty to save. Amen. Amen. God is mighty to save. And you know, Pastor talked about, he prayed for us to have compassion. It's funny, this song starts out with the fact that everyone needs compassion. And we should be showing that. It's a new year. Think about being more compassionate, more loving, more Christ-like.
Good morning. Jump over trans wires here. I'm playing jump rope here. Oh. When I count to three, everybody say brr, okay? One, two, three, brr. Well, I feel a little warmer now. Boy, I'll tell you, during that storm, I was fortunate to go out and do a little cross-country skiing on the roads before Public Works ruined it. And I came back, and there were three turkeys trying to go in my garage to get out of the wind. These big, giant turkeys. They were, like, standing on the corner of the garage. I had to say, okay, shoo, shoo, I'm going in there. But it was an interesting night. But the snow is beautiful, isn't it? It's gorgeous. Okay, a couple of announcements. The insert, if you take a look at the insert, I won't go through them all, but I'll just highlight them very quickly. Christmas decorations, unfortunately, have to come down and pack up the Bethlehem items. So if you see the note in there, it's going to be on Tuesday if you're available, starting at 9. Let Linda or Becca know if you're available to help out. And then there's a note in here about updating the church directory. It's in the foyer. Please take a look at that. And if you're not in it or if you're, something's wrong, email address, phone number, make a change there. And then also, if you're not getting Qualamol, see a note about that, too. You can look at the information there to make sure you get on that list. And there are Christmas cards still there for people who have not picked them up. They're in the counter there in the foyer. And then today, Sunday school, pastor is going to be teaching on apologetics. And it's going to be, I believe, the teens and up, correct? Pastor, yeah. So teenage and up, everyone's going to be meeting up here, Pastor?
Downstairs?
We'll be downstairs, and we'll all be together for apologetics. But if you look in there in the bulletin, Pastor's asking, if you have any topics that you always wondered about, like where did Cain get his wife, or anything, questions you have, write them down and send them to him, because he'll address all that. And not that he's looking for, I'm sure he can come up with all the answers to everything and come up with the topics, but he knows that those are questions that there are questions that people ask all the time. How did this happen, or what about this, or how come all the Gospels aren't exactly alike? If you have any questions like that, send an email to the pastor, and he'll make sure he has those answers for that apologetics class. So I think with that, let's have the ushers come forward, and let's all stand. If you want to do some jumping jacks, you can. We'll stand. We'll do recite 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 together. Let's do that now. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. 1 Samuel 2:2. Tom, would you lead us in a prayer?
Let us pray. Father, in the most holy and precious name of your Son, Jesus, as we approach your throne of grace, we do so this year and always with thanksgiving. And at this time in our service, we ask you to just to take this gift that we're giving back to you that you blessed us with and to make furtherance of your gospel this year to those that know you and those that don't. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This song is entitled, The Gift of Love. It's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 13 states, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Thank you.
greatest of these is love. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing, continue to sing. You know, I love this hymn, The Solid Rock. And it has special meaning because I'm a Coast Guard guy. The last thing you want to hit in a boat out in the ocean is a solid rock. But, you know, it's awesome foundation. And, you know, when I used to, I didn't plan on saying this, but it just kind of hit me. I used to drop the crew off to the Boston Lighthouse. It was the last manned lighthouse in the United States Coast Guard. And in calm weather, it wasn't too bad pulling up to the rock. But in stormy weather, that was a place you'd want to be, is on that rock where that lighthouse was shining so everybody could see when they were out to sea and they had struggles and distress and they're just trying to make it home. Focus on that lighthouse that was on that solid rock. And, you know, not coincidentally enough, our quiet time today has that actual verse in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. Rock of Jesus. That's where we're supposed to build our house. Not like the sand. You know, I think as folks that live on a shoreline, and obviously we have some kind of affinity for the ocean, I think, or we wouldn't live here. You know, it's a really easy metaphor to, I think, wrap your mind around. That Christ is our solid rock. Let's sing this awesome hymn, The Solid Rock. Say amen. It's the only place to stand, folks. Life isn't easy. Life isn't easy. You know, the great thing about it is all we got to do is believe. Not that that's always the easiest thing, but like this song says, it's finished. It is done. God has done the work. We just got to believe. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? It's a new year. We're in 2018. And if you've asked for forgiveness, the awesome thing about God is He forgave you. We're our own worst enemy about bringing stuff up that God already forgave us about, aren't we? You can nod your head, yes, I am, definitely. I am my own worst enemy at bringing up stuff that God said, I forgive you. as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So as we sing this song and think about what he's done for us, let's just kind of purpose in our heart, 2018, we could shine a little brighter. We could do a little more. If you just smile when it's 5 below, people are going to think you're weird anyways. So do it, okay? Here we go. God, we praise you and we thank you that you loved us so much, you died for us. That your son's precious red blood washes our dark sins whiter than snow. Lord God, that you are a rock firm beneath our feet, where we can stay planted and know that you're never going to move, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, I just pray that as we come into this new year, that you will help us to grow. Lord God, to grow in you, to trust in you more, to trust in the fact that when you say you're forgiven, we're forgiven, and to believe it and to know it, to not bring up that junk that was in our trunk. Lord God, we thank you and praise you that you're a God that forgives 70 times 7 and then some. Lord God, thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your love, the greatest of which is love. Lord God, we thank you for your love. Lord, I just pray that you will, through the power of your Holy Spirit, convict us all of a need to grow and not stagnate. Should I say, not even freeze, spiritually freeze. Lord God, help us to just do those things that reflect you in our lives. Lord, use pastor as he brings your word. We thank you for him. We thank you for healing him. That's an answer to prayer. He wasn't feeling well. Lord God, we thank you that you can heal anybody. And Lord God, as you are the great physician, we even now pray for those that need healing. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you the rest of this service. Lord, may we give you every day and every moment of our lives. It's in Jesus, your son's holy, precious name we ask these things. And everyone said, amen. Thank you.
Deacons, I'm going to call you forward at this time as we prepare for communion this morning, the first Sunday of the month. Just to kind of share again our stance here at Clinton Bible Fellowship, we believe in open communion. That simply means you don't have to be a member of this church to partake of the Lord's Supper. But following biblical mandate and scripture, we do believe that you have to be a member of Christ's body. That is, that you profess him as your Lord and Savior, you have accepted him as such, and that you stand upon his promise, his affirmation as one of his children. You know, we sung the song there, "It is finished," and the word there in the Greek is tetelestai. And just to think for a moment, what all is finished, was finished, what was completed at the cross of Calvary. But the forefront that's at my mind and heart is that the payment for my sin is done. I don't have to work my way. I don't have to do anything. I don't. Placing my faith in the one who has conquered my sin is done. The payment for that sin is done. The resurrection is done, finished. And so this morning we come and we celebrate as a memorial what Christ has done for each and every one of us. I always read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so I read to you here this morning, as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." One of the reasons we observe the Lord's Supper in the middle of our service is because I feel like it's something many times that gets tacked on at the end of other services and it's rushed through. I want us to take the time in our own hearts and our own minds individually, but collectively as a body, to truly consider what it is that we do. And to consider that this is a memorial and that this is very serious, and that Paul issues that, talking about remembering what Christ has done, but also calling on that forgiveness of the Lord. Lord, is there anything in me that is not aligned with you? Am I in sin in any way? Would you reveal that to me so that I can repent of that and then partake of the Lord's Supper? Father, we come before you here today, and I pray that the seriousness of this memorial would be pressed upon our hearts and into our minds. That if we drink in a manner that is unworthy, if we have not professed you as Lord, that we are guilty of the blood and the body of Christ. Father God, I pray that we would truly remember you. Remember your sacrifice. Remember your redemption. Remember your faithfulness. Remember your love. Father, I pray that you would reveal to any of us if there is any way in our hearts and our lives and our minds and our homes that is contrary to you, that you would reveal it now and that we would repent of that, not merely confess it, but to repent and turn away from it and turn to you. As we partake now of this memorial, I pray, Almighty Father, that your presence would be here in our midst, but Almighty God, I pray that every heart would be humbled before you and that we would genuinely have an understanding and appreciation and a humility for the sacrifice of our Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, I thank you for your body, by whose stripes we are healed. My stripes of sin were laid upon you. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were murdered for my iniquities. And all of my chastisement was placed upon you, O God. Thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for taking my place on the cross. Now, Father, as we turn, we take the second element, the blood. May we be reminded that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There is no life without blood. We thank you for that pure and spotless Lamb of God who was slaughtered on our behalf. Father, that our sins, that they are red like scarlet, will be made as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." I love that part. It's new. Because it takes the place of the old. No more sacrifices. No more need for a human intervention. But the new covenant is in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you for your covenant, Almighty God. And we know in your word, in Jeremiah 33, a covenant cannot be broken. If you can stop the sun from coming up or from setting or the moon from orbiting the earth, then we can break a covenant. That is how you illustrate this to us, Father. Your covenant, your blood covenant can never be broken. We praise you for that. So, Father, we thank you once more for your sacrifice, that we can stand victorious on this side of the cross, looking back at what you did, placing our faith and trust in what you have done and what you are going to do, for you will return again to call us home. We love you, we praise you, and thank you again for your redemption, for your sanctification, for your cleansing, atoning work at the cross of Calvary. May we not lose this, Almighty God, the importance of this sacrifice. For the name of Christ we ask it. Amen. Thank you, men.